Welcome to Tabor Foundation's podcast series. My name is Nicole Hunt, and I am with the Tabor Foundation. My guest today is Jim Manley. Jim, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
So Jim was formerly with the Mountain States Legal Foundation, and he's now an attorney with Goldwater. Today, Jim and I will be discussing legal developments involving Tabor. The taxpayers' Bill of Rights has been challenged in the court many times. Jim, can you tell us a little bit about your involvement?
Sure. I represented the Tabor Foundation in a couple of different lawsuits. The first one was against the Colorado Bridge Enterprise, which was this legislative workaround to try to avoid Tabor. And it seems like every time we go into a court to defend Tabor, it's because some governing body, either the state legislature or a local city council, has decided to try to do something creative to get around the voter approval requirements of Tabor.
So under Tabor, new taxes must be approved by the voters. But we at the Tabor Foundation didn't think that actually had happened. Jim, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And no one suggests that there was any voter approval for what the Bridge Enterprise did. Under Tabor, taxes need voter approval, but fees don't. And so the way that the legislature tried to get around Tabor was to just disguise these taxes as fees and try to get into this Tabor exception for user fees. But of course, it's just an absurd shell game.
How did the Bridge Enterprise Fund get started?
The state wanted to generate extra money to pay for bridge repairs. And so they came up with this idea of creating the Bridge Enterprise. And enterprises are supposed to be sort of government-owned businesses that function in the marketplace and don't get the majority of their funding from the state. So the universities, for example, are enterprises. They generate most of their money from tuition and other grants, and so the state isn't funding their operations. They're sort of a market participant. Now, the idea was that the Bridge Enterprise would be like that too, sort of like a tolling body, so that they would charge a fee on every vehicle that was registered, and that would be sort of a toll for using bridges. The problem with that is that they were charging this supposed fee to every single car in the state, but they were only working in about half of Colorado's counties. So they're repairing bridges with money from cars that will never even come within sight of the bridges and calling it a user fee. And we thought that was absurd, and so we sued challenging that fee as what it really is, which is a tax, and taxes require voter approval under Tabor.
And Jim, they established this supposed business within the Colorado Department of Transportation. Can you explain that?
So the Bridge Enterprise is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Colorado Department of Transportation. The executive director is the same person, the CFO is the same person, all the way down the line. It is just the alter ego of the Department of Transportation. And the only reason it exists is to hide the tax revenue that the bridge surcharge is generating from the books of the Colorado Department of Transportation. And the work that the Colorado Bridge Enterprise does is work that CDOT had done before. There's nothing new that the Bridge Enterprise is doing. It's just doing CDOT's work for it under the control of CDOT's executive officers, and with tax revenue that would have gone to the Department of Transportation if not for this shell game that the Bridge Enterprise law set up.
So the Tabor Foundation acts to protect Tabor. So we got involved and we sued. Can you tell us, Jim, how you argued this issue before the courts?
Well, I've given you a little preview there but what the legislature was doing here was pretending that a tax was a fee in order to get around Tabor. And they were also giving the Bridge Enterprise the authority to go out and borrow money without voter approval, which also violates Tabor. And so we argued that you can't have something just qualify as a fee because you call it that in the bill. If it functions as a tax, if it functions to not as a user fee, not as a fee for service, but as a broad-based charge that applies to everyone in the state, and doesn't provide direct benefits to the people who are paying the charge, then it's a tax, and taxes require voter approval. And so we made that argument, and we also argued that the bridge enterprise was getting a significant amount of its funding both from the state. The state was transferring bridges into the bridge enterprise at zero value. And so the bridge enterprise was getting this tremendous subsidy from the state in the form of all of these bridges, and the limits on state funding for enterprises were being totally ignored because they were pretending these bridges were worth nothing. So huge subsidies here from the state, and the legislature was trying to hide them. And we argued that the court shouldn't allow that to happen.
Can you tell us what the steps were? Where did you file the lawsuit?
So we filed in Denver in state court, and we went to trial, had a three-day trial, and at the end of that, after we put on expert testimony, we put on testimony from Tabor Foundation members who had vehicles that paid the bridge tax but never used a bridge that was repaired by the tax. And the state put on a bunch of its employees as witnesses. And at the end of all of that, the district court really issued an opinion that kind of ignored the law and ignored the facts and was just sort of a results-driven decision.
After we were ruled against, the Tabor Foundation was ruled against, you appealed on our behalf.
That's right. So we appealed to the Court of Appeals, and we had argument there. And I actually just reread the court's decision and the briefing, and it always makes me sad to read that decision. Not really because we lost, but because of the way that the court reached its conclusion, which was basically to say, as long as the legislature calls it a fee, it's not a tax subject to Tabor. That's really at the bottom what the court decided, and that has horrible implications for Tabor and just for the rule of law generally. When a court can reach a decision like that's really not based on the law, that's not based on anything the courts have decided before, it sort of takes away some of the trust I have in the legal system.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you so much for your insight into what's been happening with the courts and, you know, what we have to look forward to in the year and years ahead. The Tabor Foundation has been and is still involved in a number of lawsuits. So we encourage you to tune in to our podcast to learn more about what we are doing legally to protect Tabor. You can find our podcast at thetaborfoundation.org. You'll find more details about the work that we're doing, and you can also donate there. We gladly accept your donations to keep our work going. As always, all donations are tax deductible. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, Jim. And this is Nicole Hunt for the Tabor Foundation. Thank you for tuning in.